The great thing about Perimeter is all of their ministries are a reflection and almost identical to Perimeter's ministries. So we first met, and I think I saw Dwayne out there. He was part of this first ministry, and it was a business. It was the Highmark Business Ministry. So Dwayne and Carla were over there, Bob and Sandy Dunn, the Sanfords, the Singletaries. So many businessmen got involved, and Andrew would tell you, with a lasting impact to this day. So that was the first time that we met Andrew. He was one of the coordinators for that event. And then he and his sister and another lady started a pre-evangelical ministry called Gospel Joy. And some of you will remember, because twice he brought the whole choir here to Perimeter Church. Once was in conjunction with one of those Global Mission Spotlight Sundays. And so we had the whole thing. Andrzej Bojanski was the lead pastor for that, and we had the worship team from Poznan. So that was amazing. Literally, stop and think about this. This pre-evangelical ministry into a Catholic country where the youth just never hear the message of the gospel. The workshops literally brought the message through Black Gospel lyrics to hundreds of kids, and then on the concerts that were always at the end of the workshops, literally thousands more. So business, then our next ministry was the youth, next generation. And then the one after that, we really brought our focus down on life, missional discipleship. We call it now, I think, leadership development in the church. And Andrew was a big part of that, and he is on the core team of our ministry partners at Teach the Clinics. And Lou and Lauren and my wife, Wyleen, and Bill and Debbie, we head to Poland in a couple of weeks to do two clinics. And to celebrate, it was 20 years ago, so this celebration would have been last year, but the 15th year of doing discipleship in Poland, and John Musselman started that with the training of the 12 15 years ago. John, right now, is in Wisła, in the south of Poland, at the European Leadership Forum. Now, we've had tremendous numbers of people over there. So far, Judy Reamer has not been one of them. I know you're amazed to hear that. And I went up to her and I said, well, how are all your trips to Poland? And she looked at me and she says, I haven't been there. And I said, how in the world did that happen? I mean, she's sitting with the Johnsons that actually house the Gospel Joy Choir, housed a intern, Paulina, for a whole summer, been deeply involved, and Judy's neglecting us. Andrew, how did you let this happen? Unbelievable. So right now, Wyleen's getting nervous because I'm going too long. So let me just suffice that now Andrew has taken the lead for the last 5 years on evangelical Poland. In a prayer I literally have had for 20 years, some would call it a frustration. I'm going to keep this positive and just say it was a prayer that we have seven denominations in Poland, and they're all verticals. They just do not work together. And Andrew saw that. He was called to a ministry. And if you want to know how difficult it is, talk to Chip Sweeney and how long it took him to get Unite going and the hurdles that he had, the joys on seeing that happen. Andrew is doing this in condensed form and has been doing it for the last 5 years. And I think a lot of what he's going to be talking about this morning is on evangelical Poland, the progress they've made, and their hopes and desires for the future. So, in summary, I know that Wyleen loves it when I say in summary. For 20 years now, our eight ministry partners have mirrored our ministry plans. It's been an unbelievable joy to be on a team that works in Poland. You know, we all know in the Westminster Confession that our purpose is to glorify God. And I think these ministries and our partners does that to such a great extent. But I always look at the second half of that for me personally, for Wyleen. I think for all of you that are involved in the Poland ministries, it's to enjoy God. And we have had the ability to enjoy God and what he's doing in Poland through Andrew and our ministry partners in a way that's just unbelievable. So, Andrew, if you'll come up here, let me pray for you, and we'll be off to the races now that we know you have visuals up there. And Father God, we praise you and we love you. And Lord, we thank you for another day. And us in Harvesters, we don't take that for granted. We know that each day is a gift from you. As Jeff said, there is no retirement plan for us. We are called to finish strong for the glory of God. And we just thank you for the abilities that you give us to do that, the unique gifts that you give us to do that. Lord, we thank you for Andrew, for Goral is his nickname in Poland, for the 20 years that I've gotten to see him grow in so many different aspects, so many different ministries. We thank you for Anya and his family. While he's here, we just pray that you protect them, keep them healthy. Lord, I just pray for Andrew's health. It's one of these like European vacations. He's in, 20 cities in 3 weeks. I've just been on part of his schedule last week, and it's exhausting. So, Lord, we just pray that you keep him healthy, you keep him focused. Lord, we just give great joy the way that you speak through him, speak through his heart. And so, Lord, we just pray for him. We pray for our time together, and we ask for all of this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning. It is so good to be here and an honor and privilege to be with you this morning. I would like to maybe start with showing a picture of my family. And as you can see, I married up big time here. Maybe, I don't know if it's me or it's the mic over there. My son is 15, Peter. He's already taller than I am. No respect for his dad. I don't know. I did not allow him to go that quickly, but he did. Then we have a middle one, Jagoda, which means blueberry in English, and then an 8-year-old Maria. I thought I would start with, with an update on Poland, but with what's going on in Ukraine. So if I could have a next slide, please. This is Poland, center of Europe, and then, of course, Ukraine there. And within the Ukraine war crisis and the refugee crisis, 12 million people, as I've heard recently, left Ukraine, and 12 million people went through Poland, and 2 million still live in Poland. Next slide, please. And I want to start with telling you that Poland, even though we've joined European Union recently, we're part of NATO right now, but God is doing something, and it will have an impact of what I'm going to say later. Poland is becoming a Central European superpower, very influential, with a very good relationship with the U.S. here. But we are the ones who are pushing the entire Europe to do something about the Ukraine crisis. So that puts us on the map. I hear from my friends here in America who have family and relatives in the army that Poland is a war equipment parking lot right now. So church in Poland is very small. That's a good one. Please go to another slide. Church in Poland is very small. Only we evangelicals, the seven denominations, we make up 0.2% in Poland. But you could say that the church passed the test of love, because there are no refugee centers in Poland. We just have those people at our homes. And when the war started, it was all chaos. But we did churches of 40, churches of 50 would welcome 100 Ukrainian refugees. And you have to remember, those are usually only women and children. So the church is small, but we're standing strong. And one of the messages I want to show you, to tell you, and I'll explain, it's hard to be a believer over there, born-again Christian over there, but we're standing strong. We're not giving up. And the EP, the collaboration movement, national collaboration movement, which I started, I lead, was really instrumental in bringing the church together. We've done a lot of meetings, a lot of funding went through different churches into Ukraine, and there's people driving with food and supplies every single day into Ukraine from Poland. There are churches who are involved in this every single day. We had I'll show you a story. One day, it was maybe a week after the war started, I get a text message from somebody I don't know. Just a text message, and somebody says, hey, the family with three is looking for a place to stay. And those text messages in situations like this, we would get all the time. And this one, like, I look at my wife, and we take him? She said, oh, yeah, let's take him. So right suddenly like this, they said that the text said they will be in Poznan, your city, tomorrow. And we said, okay, that's no problem. We will clean the house, and we'll have them. 15 minutes later, there's another text from the same person. I don't know who it is. Says, well, actually, they're already here. And they, the first text said that they were 7 hours away. So it was so chaotic back in the war. I mean, you couldn't plan anything. You plan something, 2 hours later, it was completely different. So they, you know, so they're already to be picked up somewhere in Poznań, my city. So, okay, we go into the cars, we go and pick them up. And they are, like, scared. It took them 3 days to, in freezing temperature, to get there. They're super tired. Normally, it would take them, like, I don't know, 12 hours or 9 hours to get to where we are. But they get into their car, and they're like, who are these people? You know, we don't know each other. They speak Ukrainian, we speak Polish. And they go like, okay, so where are we going? We came with two cars, and where are we going? The kids were in another car, and the lady, you know, look, the blonde lady on the right side, you see her, Anya Rudnicka, and she goes like, so we start talking. So who are you? Now, as I told you, evangelicals make 0.2% in Poland. So what do you do? I said, you know what? I'm a pastor. She goes, really? My husband is a pastor. So What are the odds that a God would take care of a Christian family moving to another country when they don't know anybody? She has never been outside of Ukraine. To put them in a Christian home and just take care of them. It's just like for us, it is the church with the capital C. Like when I'm here, I am. Ken Branscom takes care of me. Dwight and Virginia Johnson. Many of you take care of us when we are here. And that's how God works. But over there, God just surprised them. And they finally stayed 6 months at our home with us. And we've learned a lot about Ukrainian culture and Russian culture. And let me just tell you one interesting fact. What she told me, I think you would appreciate that. We didn't know it, even though we are bordering Russia. She said that Russia, she was complaining, of course. And they used to speak Russian, not anymore. I mean, it's just... It's a mess there, obviously. But she says that in Russia, people have been living with one thing only, and we go, well, what is it? Fear. Everybody has fear there. It's been like this for centuries. So that's why when they say, well, they overthrow Putin, maybe not, because just the former KGB, now FSB, they're all over the place. So people just live in fear in Russia. So she told us a lot of interesting facts about the culture, their Eastern culture, But anyway, that's them, Anya, and that's my family. Okay, let's go. Let's move to another slide. So you could probably ask, and by the way, if you have any questions, just feel free to ask those questions. You could ask, like, okay, so it's been a year and 2 months now. What do they need? First of all, of course, the war to end. Number one, they still need accommodation. It's not easy. Most flats and apartments are rented out because we were 38 million. Now we have 2 million people coming in within a few months. So that's actually really changed the situation in Poland. What they need is training, job, skills, the Polish language to live normal life. Children and youth, also normal life. Camps, they just need to have fun. And by the way, it's hard because they come into, let's say, I've heard stories of high school where you know, the teacher has 30 kids, Polish kids, and then there's another 5 kids coming in from Ukraine. And the teacher wants to do something with them and says, hey, you know, to the Ukrainian kids, you know, why don't you get involved? Why don't you do something? And they said, I don't care. I don't want to be here anyway. What are you going to do to me? You're going to throw me away? I don't want to be here. So it is so disruptive. And they, without their dads, we have to remember that, they have no fathers here, fathers that are for 1.5 years. Which brings me to another thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. The war has been going for 1.2 years. Maybe going for another year, maybe two, nobody knows. Imagine this. We all think that, number one, when the war is ended, it's all going to be great. Not necessarily, because those women and children have been living in a different country, Poland, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, France, and they've learned the language, they have friends, they you know, they're part of the new church, and they just have a better life here. And the guy, my husband, and the dad is over there, so the war ends, he comes over, He doesn't speak the language. He doesn't know how to get a job. He's frustrated. They say, well, we want to stay here because we already have a better life here. He goes, no. He says, no, let's go back there. She says, no, let's stay here. And it's all kinds of troubles. So when the war will be done, it's not going to be just a great thing. It's going to bring more troubles, families probably, you know, being a part of and that. So just terrible to see. And when... You know, in Europe, we use a lot of public transportation. So you know, you're in downtown, and you see a lot of those blonde women with children walking around, and you know they're Ukrainians. It's just so sad to hear. And obviously, they need the gospel, hope for better tomorrow, which actually evangelicals make few percent of Ukrainian society. We make 0.2%. So actually, when they came over to Poland, the church in Poland doubled in size just within a few months. So yeah, that's what it is. Okay. Okay, unless you have some questions about Ukraine, if you allow me, I'll go forward. But of course, at the end we'll have Q&A time. So, okay, you know where I'm coming from. So those questions are a little bit maybe not the best, but just so I wanted you to know this. What is one country on the top of the list for having a need for church planting missionaries? And another slide, please. This country is 10,000 times more needy than Papua and New Guinea, and over 200 times more so than Mexico. Another slide. In this country, there are cities in other countries with more missionaries, cities with more missionaries than this entire country. Another one. As a percentage of population, there are 4 times less evangelical Christians living in this country than there are in Saudi Arabia. 4 times less. Okay, one more. Nearly 1 million people per church planting unit in this country. What country is it? Poland, yes, of course. This is Poland. 2% of evangelical Christians, I told you. Only 700 churches for 37 million. I am going to Birmingham tonight, and last time I was there, I saw more churches driving one street than we have in 1 million city where I live. Unbelievable. So in total of 905 cities, in 700, there's no single evangelical church. 86% of Poles, of course, are Catholic. Okay, next slide, please. This is our geography. We are the blue is Poland. On the western part, you see Germany. On the eastern part, you see Lithuania, Belarus, and Ukraine. Used to be Russia. So it's just the worst place to live because there are no mountains, and we have been invaded by Germans and Russians from left and right so many times in our history. So I was asking, why are you helping? And you've heard this probably on TV that Poles just welcome those Ukrainians so much. Why are you helping them so much? And the simple reason is because we were there. We've been there. We were invaded by Russia. We know how it feels. I even may tell you one story from World War II. My mom told me this. She heard about it from in her village. On September 1st, 1939, Germans attacked from the west, but on September 17th, the Russians attacked from the east. And so there was one guy, we didn't believe that the Russians would be attacking us, but they did. And so one guy was with his wife on a horse and then like a wagon, and they were escaping, and they already saw the Russians coming in from the east with their tanks and everything. And what he did, he took out his gun, shot his wife, and shot himself. And because we know what it means to get into Russians' hands. And that, you see this on TV. You see those stories from Bucha and others. Nothing, from our perspective, nothing or maybe almost nothing has changed since 80 years ago. You know, well, now we're in Western, you know, Western society. You know, people are important. You know, legal rights, human rights, and all this over there, they don't care. A lady in our church told us a story. We have a testimony time at our church, and she told us a story. Ukrainian lady. She told us that her husband is fighting for Ukraine, and they are, how did she say it? They are very sad. They feel really terrible because what the Russians do is they send a troop of people just to run an attack, and they know they'll be killed. They are killing them like ducks, and then the Russians know, oh, the fire is coming from that side, so then they are shooting their big arms over there. That's how they do reconnaissance, you know, to sending people to die so the other ones know where to shoot. It's just and you, she said those Ukrainians are sitting in the trenches shooting those kids, 20, 19-year-olds, and know that this is the only way they're. So anyway, let's move on. Okay, if I speak too fast, please apologize. We only have 20-something minutes fast. So, this is my story. I come from the thing on the left. This is where I was, one of those apartment buildings. That's where I grew up. Then today it looks similar, but it's just more colorful. They just colored those apartment buildings. But this is what used to be, you know, Eastern Europe, of course, behind the curtain. So next slide, please. But In my high school days, I fell in love with the Chicago Bulls. I learned English from Bob Costas. He was my personal teacher. 3 hours per day, he would speak to me from the screen, straight directly to me. That's how I speak the language. So if I have grammatical mistakes, that's all his fault. So my dream was, and next slide, please. My dream was to go to the U.S. And of course, I was a Catholic for 23 years, like everybody in Poland. Then I went to law school. But my dream was always to go and see NBA life, NBA game. So one summer I went to the U.S. as a summer exchange student. And next slide, please. What did I do in the evenings? I mean, I worked in the morning. I didn't have anything to do in the evening, so I went and played basketball. Boston, Massachusetts, Roxbury. And then I meet somebody who turns out, he says he went to North Carolina University. And I go, wow, this is where Michael Jordan went to. Like, do you know him? No, I don't. I'm okay. And we start talking, and it turns out he is a church planter. So he says, Andrew, why don't you come over to my place? And we have a Bible study going on every Friday, and after that we go and play basketball. And this was a room like this, full of young people. I came in, and I had been going to church every single Sunday. Religion was a big part of my life and our family life. But what I saw there, let's say this is a pencil, right? They were talking about the pencil like it's, you know, it's, what I don't know, orange, you know, it's thin, long, whatever. They were talking about God like he was in the room, he was real. And I had never, ever experienced that in my life before. I was like, wow. I immediately, within 10 minutes, I knew I didn't have what they had. So to make, you know, long story short, obviously, 10 weeks later, it was kind of funny. I'm from Eastern Europe, so we are tough people there, you know, because we had to deal with all the oppression over there. So they cornered me with questions like goods insurance salesperson, you know, asking questions to which I couldn't say no to, you know, like one after another. And I was like, okay. And then they said, so will you pray the prayer, salvation prayer? I said, I have no other arguments. Yeah, let's do it. So that changed. It was in 97 in Boston. Then I moved to Los Angeles for 1 year, and then I came back home. And if I can have, please, next slide. Yeah, and I worked in business for 3 years, and then we started a ministry right in the garage there. I always thought that we would be like Bill Gates, starting in a garage, and then it's not exactly how it worked out. But anyway, that's part of the history. So I thought I would share it with you. This is, by the way, one of the very, very few homes in Poland which is wooden. We have brick homes, you know. Those huge, every single house is made out of brick and cement. Okay, anyway, let's go. Let's move forward. And as Ken mentioned, we had been doing gospel music ministry for 15 years, reaching 500,000 Polish people with the gospel. Then I got married with my wife, and we did not get married in a Catholic church. So my dad said, I'm not coming. Not only he did not come, he would call all relatives and said, hey, do not come to his wedding. Do not put a stamp of approval of that. He betrayed Jesus. He betrayed the religion, the family, you know, the faith. So he didn't come. My wife, my mom was sitting in the fifth row, weeping and crying throughout the entire ceremony. But it's what it is. I mean, it was tough on me, but on my wife very much though. So, and it's just how life looks like that. But what I wanted to say is one thing to encourage you and to maybe challenge you a little bit. The guy over there on the basketball court in Boston, Massachusetts, invited a white kid from Eastern Europe to his home for a Bible study. He didn't know nothing. He didn't know who I was. I mean, I didn't know who he was. I came in. God used me to reach 500,000 Poles with the gospel, just with gospel joy. And then, of course, now with the collaboration, the unity movement. And if it wasn't for him stepping outside of his comfort zone and inviting me to the Bible study, probably this would not be happening. So I would like to encourage you or challenge you to invite somebody within the next week to the church. I mean, there was a conversation, right, to invite people here to the harvesters meeting, but to church, I don't know, somebody at the grocery store or anybody. You do not know if this will not be another Tim Keller or Billy Graham. You just don't know that. He had no clue, and I didn't know. God just used me, worked through me and in me for so many years to basically change the country. So it makes sense to invite. We don't sometimes have to do much. Okay, next slide, please. somebody told me that when you share something, tell people what the problem is, what the solution, and what the outcome will be. So the main problem is we are 2/10 of society. 700 towns do not have a church. This is a map where there is evangelical Bible-believing churches only in the red or pink color. All the white spots, there's nothing. Everywhere, this is not Texas or Arizona. People live all over the place. So people live everywhere, but there's just so many people without any access to any kind of body of believers. 50% of the churches are below 40 people. Not only it's only 700 churches, but 50% are less than 40. Average age of a pastor is 54. And one third of Baptist churches do not have a pastor. So that's the reality. And then we have this saying, Polish church is small but well, and please click the thing, Polish church is small but well divided. Click another one, I came to hear you, to tell you that even though we are seen as a cult by people, even though our family thinks we're crazy, and my mom still thinks I am crazy, I am not a believer in her side, I want to tell you that the church, the little and small church there, we are not giving up. We're going to stand strong for Jesus, and we're going to fight until we die. So, thank you. Next one, please. So, the solution, what it is we believe, just like Ken was saying, we mirror Perimeter's ministries. I will tell you a story of. Actually, it happened at the Evangelical European Leadership Forum, which was mentioned here. 7 years ago, I've heard a story of French church. I don't know if you knew. In Poland, we think France will be Muslim by 2050. That's what they say. But I heard that the Evangelical Church grew 1,000% in the last 50 years. That every 12 days, there's a new church planted in France. And I'm thinking, sitting there at this session, I'm like, how come? And of course, it was explained what were the reasons, and there were many. But one of them was that the church, the leadership of the churches, came together and decided to speak with one voice to government, to media, to society. They made a strategy to plant churches in the entire France, and then so they have this strategy that each French person would have at least 30 minutes to the closest church. So they have a vision and a strategy. And I'm sitting there and thinking, God, do we have something like this in Poland? We're so small and we're divided. We don't work with each other. And by the way, so I, after the ELF, I went to visited each denominational leader and spoke with them and said, hey, do we have something like this, like a vision that we could work together? No, we don't. And one, Andrzej Bajeński, whom you know, invited me, said, okay, so Andrew, why don't you come over to when we sit all together as denominational leaders and we'll talk about it again. And I came there, shared it again, and they said, Andrew, we're not going to do it. We're just too busy. We can't do it. So unless you want to run with it, then it's just not going to happen. I said, oh, okay. I didn't know that was coming. I just had a great idea. But they said, well, there were so many people coming to us and telling us what we should do that that's not how it works. You run with it or it's not happening. And they said, we'll bless you. And I said, okay, let's do it. And to be honest, probably they didn't believe it would be happening because a lot of people tried and maybe it wasn't the right time. But we've created a platform, a network of kingdom-minded Christians who want to work with each other, bless each other, and share resources to strengthen the church and spread the gospel. And you know where it starts, working together in Poland at least? It starts with you liking my post, and so if something good happens in my church, and then I like your post on Facebook if something happens in your church. Because usually people would, God doesn't work that well in this other church. God works better in my church. So please, next slide. And so we've established this network with a dream and vision to transform the church and the entire nation one by one. And you know, sometimes you've heard this before. Give the job to the new guy who doesn't know how to do this, or that he doesn't know it's impossible to do, and he may actually do it. So I guess I'm one of those, you know, who just tries to do this. And I just, as I told you before, I don't know if this will, if working together will bring the fruit, but I want to die trying. I mean, there's just no other way. Okay, and one more thing. Our church is small but well divided. And I once heard, I don't know if you've heard about this, that there's two types of calling to ministry. One is a positive calling and another one is negative calling. The positive calling is, if I play guitar so well, I don't, but if I play guitar so well, then I go in and play in a worship band. And the negative calling is, the guy who plays guitars, it's so bad, I just can't stand hearing this, so then I will go and I will just play guitar on his spot. My calling for Christians to working together is the negative one. I cannot stand seeing Christians, brothers in faith, competing with each other, not using the synergy law. 1 + 1 = 3, or maybe 5, or whatever it is, but it's more than 2 when we work together. So we have, for the first time ever in the history of Poland, largest country in the Central Eastern Europe, we have signed, and the denomination leaders and many other leaders signed a vision of the church growth in Poland by 2050, where we would like to see to go from 0.2% to 1%. Sounds kind of maybe funny for you, but for us, it would be the first time since for 1,000 years. In 1,000 years history of Poland, we have always been Catholic. So this is really against our culture, against everything who Poland is. But to go to 1% and then plant 4,300 churches to go up to 5,000 by 2050. Is it possible? I don't know. But like somebody said, start small, go deep. And think big, right? So we will. That's where we are. Okay, let's go to another slide. So 5 years ago, this was just an idea in my head, and today it is the largest collaboration movement of evangelical pastor churches and leaders in Poland. 30% of all churches participated in at least one project. There's 19 projects going on. There's so many different organizations. There's so many different organizations involved. Involved in this. And there's one very important thing, and I'm sure you've read this in the books. I read a lot of books on how to build teams and all this. But from the very beginning, I believed if there will be collaboration and unity and synergy, there has to be trust. Without trust, we can't do anything. There will be trust if there will be relationships. There will be relationships, people will start getting together. So my job has been for the last 5 years is to bring people to all kinds of different meetings where we would pray for Poland, where we would talk in areas of our ministry. So, for example, collaboration within evangelism. We would get the evangelists in the room and pray, and hey, how can we move evangelism forward as the entire church with capital C? How can we help each other? Or leadership development. We have 19 projects going on, and one of them is Mentoring Academy, which is, you know, people mentoring others, which for Polish culture, for our Eastern European culture, is new. We only learn it from you guys, your companies, American companies and Western companies coming to Poland. And only then we learned, there could be mentoring, there could be, you know, helping each other. There is no word in Polish language for learning community. We don't have round tables like you guys have, just culturally. We don't. For you, you see, you have the table is made so you can sit around and talk to each other and learn from each other and discuss stuff. We don't have this. We always, it's like there's one person, two people sitting there, just not our culture. So my dream was from the beginning, because I had come to faith here and I've lived here for a while, was to see people, Polish pastors and leaders helping each other and training each other and sharing their experience and resources with each other. And it has started happening. It's just so great to see. Okay. How does one change the culture of? Somebody laughed at me. I was on a Zoom call, and I said, "Hey, we just want to change the culture of Poland." He goes like, "Oh, that's very funny. That's very funny." So, you know, multiplication. I believe it's multiplication. It's being together, leaders, churches, and of course, it's all about people. It's always about people. And a God-given vision. Yeah, let's go to another slide, please. So, European Leadership Forum was mentioned here. This is the largest European gathering of leaders. I went there for the first time, and my life was never the same. I loved it so much. First day, I went to somebody there and said, "Is there anything like this happening in Poland?" This was like 10 years ago, even before the, of course, this thing. And they said, "Okay, hold on one minute." So they immediately on the first day of the conference took me to the leader of the Greg Pritchard, and I said, "Greg, I mean, we have to do this in Poland." He said, "Okay, who are you? I mean, what's your deal?" He said, "What network are you at?" So he was kind of seeing who I am. If I'm in a worship network, he would go like, "Man, you're an artist. You're not going to get this done." But I said, "I'm in leadership development network." He goes, "Okay, okay." So we started talking to each other, and then after that our denomination leaders and the leadership of Polish churches signed a vision, I said, hey, we just have to have people. If we are to work together, we have to have at least one place where we get together, share knowledge, share experience, and get together, and in Polish language, by Poles, to strengthen the church. And it just, I'm coming here to testify. It's been already 2 years that we've had this thing, and 35 speakers, Polish people, charismatic, sharing his experience with a conservative, and then the other session, the otherwise, the vice versa. And you know, back in the day, they would never talk to each other, and they would go like, oh, he's an unbeliever. You know, he's just, his theology is all messed up. But today, he sits there in the session and goes like, he's got the point there. Maybe I'll use it in my ministry, what he has, you know, experienced or something. And suddenly, they see, whoa, you know how it is. Like, I'm opening my heart, quickly speaking, but I'm opening my heart with you. So you know, okay, well, this guy loves Jesus. This guy really wants the best for his country. And the same is happening slowly but surely over there in the country of Poland, which I am just so grateful to God. And this is one of the leadership forums there. So those are 19 projects that we're running in the networks, like collaboration networks of evangelism, discipleship, leadership development, mercy and justice, media, youth leaders, and in almost, I don't know if not every single one, Perimeter has been involved throughout those last 20 years somehow. It is just, it's so, I just want also to come and thank you. So good to have you in our Polish corner. It's just great to have you guys as part of what God is doing over there. But the last one, I figured Americans lack big vision, and I figured Americans are the ones who get things done. You know, all the biggest companies, all the biggest ideas are just come from America these days. I don't know what it is. I've been thinking about, like, why is it that U.S. is now ahead of everybody in the world? I don't know, but I mean, I have some ideas, but I thought I would come and share. We have this crazy idea that came to me, I believe it's got given 6-7 months ago, that we would start a training center in Poland. Could we have another slide? Yeah, and as you see, 19 projects, big vision, we're not giving up. We're small, we're weak, we're divided, but we are going to fight, stay strong there, to fight for the church and for the kingdom of God. Next slide, please. So this is our staff right now. You know, again, five years ago, it was just an idea, a God-given thing. When I was sitting at the session and the speaker was talking about France church, I couldn't sit there. I thought, like, do we have to do this over there in Poland? So that's what it is, and just I could share story after story of those people. Actually, two of those are already Perimeter ministry partners as well, so they have been here before. So, three of those. Let's go to another slide, please. Yes, so our vision now is to start a training center. If it's all about people, if the average age of a pastor is 54, I've heard a story of Estonia, a Baptist church in Estonia, which was going down in numbers and strength and everything. They have changed. They've changed the leader there. The leader came in, dismantled or closed the seminary, changed everything. And he said, "The seminary will not be in school, in classroom. It will be out there in the field." And he said, "We will plant churches." And he started investing in youth. He started doing camps for boys, age 15 to 19, to share the vision with them and the need of planting new churches. And you know, you get 30, 50 guys there. God will speak to one or two, and then now, after those years, the church is in Estonia. I'm talking about Baptist churches. That's one example. Is going up because of the change of a vision and a strategy. So we figured we would like to do the same thing in the western part of Poland, where there is no where 10 million people live, and there is no single training center there. I have a video which you might have seen because Jeff Norris showed it in February when I was here last time at the service, but maybe some of you have not seen it. It's just two-minute one. So before I go further, if you'd like to maybe watch this, it would be awesome. I wonder if it would work. I'm sure Fritz can make it happen. There you go. If we could have the sound as well, it would be even better. 4 years ago, God gave us a vision that one day Poland, the Polish church, would be united, would collaborate, would work with each other, would bless each other. And you know what? God has been at work. God has been at work like we have never seen before in this area of unity. Just after 4 years, Evangelical Poland is now the largest interdenominational collaboration movement of pastors, leaders, and churches in Poland. We live here in the area of Western Poland, in the city of 1 million people, city of Poznań. There are 20 churches here, 20 evangelical churches, and only 3 have buildings. 5 other churches have been looking for a new place for years and they couldn't find one. In the whole area where 10 million people live, there's no single conference, Christian conference center here in the western part of Poland, where people could come, where people could be equipped, people could be encouraged, where pastors, leaders could be trained to plant new churches, to disciple others, trained for evangelism. So there's a huge need to find and to have a place like this that would serve the entire church, that would serve the church that wants to collaborate, that wants to bless each other. And we have found the right location near Poznań and right off the freeway between Berlin and Warsaw. This will be the place where leaders will grow through trainings, equipping, retreats, summer camps, and other meetings. 2 million Ukrainian refugees are living in Poland. Many of them need skills, need to learn Polish language. This place will also serve the refugees. There will be trauma training, well, there will be counselor training. We will train them in Polish language and also skills so they can find a job and live their life until they can go back home. This place will also serve as a home for Amazing Grace Local Church, which has been planted 3 years ago and has been growing since. In this area here, there's 100,000 people live here in the southern part of Poznań, and there's no single evangelical church here. Consider joining this God-given vision? Would you consider partnering with Evangelical Poland in changing western part of Poland for Jesus Christ? Thank you so much and God bless you.
Thank you so much. So just a few more slides before we finish. The blue part is the part, 1/4 of Poland. Where 10 million people live, and there is no, there's just nothing there. I am going. Chip Sweeney is taking me to a conference in Colorado in a few days in Estes Park, Colorado, and I just met somebody who runs a camp there, and I said, hey, I'm going to Estes Park. He goes, what camp? I said, I don't know. Then I checked, and it turns out it's a different camp, Christian camp. There, you know, there's just one park, you probably know, I've never been there, but just one park, and there's 2, and probably even more, Christian training centers there. If you're a leader, if you run a company or ministry or anything, you know you have to take your people somewhere to go where you need to build team and spend some time in the evening and just, you know, just build relationships. There's anything like this out there. And I'm my story at ELF European Leadership Forum, you've already heard. I went there to one of the trainings like this, and God, you put leaders into room, and God will do the rest. You know, they will just come up with ideas of how to work together, and So let's go to another slide. So few churches. Poznań, the largest city in the western part of Poland, 20 churches, as I mentioned on the film there, and it's right off the freeway, and in this circle. 154,000 people. We actually counted them exactly. Lived there, and there's no single. They don't have a chance to hear the gospel. There's just nobody there. Nobody there. I mean, Catholic churches on every corner, obviously. There's people believe there is God in Poland, but they just don't know the gospel. Nobody reads the Bible. I had never read the Bible before I was invited by the guy in Boston. Another slide, please. Yeah, this is our church. We started in 2018, just the 6 of us over there. We're planning and having great ideas, great vision, and this was our camp last year. So we went to the camp,
there are no Christian camps in Poland in our part of town, but so we went to a hotel. And we thought, oh, man, this is going to be great. Well, it was, but sometimes it wasn't, because at the one of evening, Friday evening or Saturday evening, I can remember, there was a wedding. So there were people drinking, yelling, and all this. Then next day, you know, it's a large hotel, you know, and people are smoking here, swearing, and, you know, we have kids there. And, like, what kind of Christian camp is it? You know, when stuff like that is happening, so it's not easy. So okay, let's go to another one, and we're about to finish. We have 12 or 13 minutes to go, so I want to leave some time for questions. And the reality is, the church is small, divided, and there has to be. I mean, again, I said I don't know if the collaboration will bring fruit. I mean, we have seen very great things happening. People teaching each other, learning from each other, and just new people being called to ministry already in many different situations. But multiplication of resources, evangelism. We want to do, at that place, we want to do evangelistic camps. People here in the U.S., most people come to faith at camps. Young people come to faith at camp because they are taken outside of their normal life, and suddenly, for 1 week, they're in the middle of woods, and they can finally focus on God. It's not the case in Poland, because we just don't have so many facilities there. There is one camp, Pro-Am Ministries, maybe some of you have heard of them, in the center of Poland. And for this summer, they opened up registration, and they have like 120 beds, and this is 8 weeks. Summer is 8 weeks in Poland. They were sold out within 15 minutes. 15 minutes, sold out. So if you want to go to a good Christian camp, sorry, there's no room. So we know that God works in camps, but it's just not happening there. And of course, accommodation, a helping hand for the Ukrainian refugees. Nobody knows what will happen. You know, we do. There is a huge, and Perimeter is going to get involved in the trauma counseling, training there, the leaders there, Ukrainian leaders, so they can help each other, and that's what we will use it for. Okay, next slide, please. And then I, in the beginning, I started with the strategic role of Poland. Poland is just now really on everybody's radar right now. So so we believe in Poland. If Poland will be Christian, we are very, as you can see, energetic and passionate country. So it would spread out to the rest of Europe. The center over there, which we want to start, is just 2.5 hours from Berlin, Germany. And 3 hours from Warsaw, right off the freeway. So it's just a great, great, great location. Okay, next one. Oh, I'm a person from Poland. When I see something like this, it absolutely overwhelms me. But I said, hey, you know, I'm the guy who doesn't know it can be done. So let's go for the impossible. So this is what it will cost. But if you click another one. When I was coming to States, this was it. But now, after 3 weeks of my trip, actually 2 weeks, it's already we're already 9,000 short of $1 million. So God is at work, really amazing. So yes, let's go to another one. We're all about leaders investing in youth. Amazing Grace Church, local body of believers, finally in this place, and serving other churches. Our heart is that we would work together, synergy. So this will be obviously used for everybody else out there. Another one, please. Those are two training centers. The one to the right is the one which was sold out so quickly. I'm thinking to myself, is it possible? Of course it's not by human standards, but God can make it. So there were two leaders, probably went outside and shared the vision back in the day, and it was possible back then. So if it's possible there, maybe it will be possible on our on this western northern part of Poland as well. Okay, so the last slide. If you would like to pray for this, I would love you to pray for this. If you like the stories of the impossible, I know Dwight Johnson sitting right there. We have been staying. Thank you so much for having me again. And Dwight likes those stories of impossible, real life stories which are impossible, and then God does this. So I believe one day we'll sit on your you know couch and drink coffee, and we'll say, "Hey, this was impossible, and God pulled it off." So, but can't do it without with your prayers. And I have my prayer cards at the end over there. You could take it with you, or you could leave your email address, and I'd love to keep you updated. Just write your email address and leave it over there, and then I'll pick it up and I will let you know how things are going. So next slide, please. problem, small church, solution, collaboration, unity. John 17 says, they will know if you have unity, if you are one with each other, the world will know that God has sent Jesus as a Savior. So the benefit, new churches, healthy leaders, more believers, changed lives, families. And Poland influencing Europe. We had people from Germany asking if they could come to do like a retreat or something. I said, yeah, sure, there's many hotels, but and nothing Christian there. So next slide. Next slide. Thank you very much. That was it. If you had any questions about anything what I said, I'd love to answer.
Andrew.
Yes.
What about is there Christian teaching?
I can hear you well.
Is there Christian teaching on television or on the internet?
Yes, but you know, there is one TBN American station, as I think translated into Polish, but it's like it's on the satellite TV, so few people have it. There is a little bit of that. And internet, yes, but imagine you have 86% Catholic and then you have 0.2% evangelical. So imagine how much stuff on internet is there, how much is it Catholic and how much is it... I mean, we do everything we can, but not much. We actually do right now, one of the projects that I mentioned is building awareness campaign. In France, what they decided is like, hey, the people need to know that there's another way of... You can be Christian being outside of Catholic Church. So we started doing this as well on social media. It's just the first step of again, fighting 1,000 years history. It's really... we're really against... You know, you don't see it, but it's really against a spiritual bondage we're fighting in.
Yeah, with God, all things are possible.
Amen. Yes?
Judy Quigley?
Are you getting resistance from the Catholics?
Big time. The main problem is planting churches in small towns. You come into the small town, you sometimes see it in the Italian movies, all the Italian movies. The head priest of the local parish, he runs the city. So, you know, you want to start something, he would write there on Sunday Mass, would say, do not go there, this is a cult, this is a sect. Do not go there. And the small towns are especially, you know, more conservative. So it is really hard. We've done a study of church planting, and an average team. How many team members on average plant a church in small town? Two, a wife and a husband. That's it. It's hard. It takes 7 years in Poland to plant a church, and because of the Catholic, criticism. Yes.
Along those same lines, what about the Roman Catholic leadership? Are they expressing any resistance to the movement that you and your staff are trying to do?
You know,
official resistance.
Yeah, no. I would say, you know, at the end of the day, we're so small. 30% of 0.2%. What is it? You know, it's just... I would like some resistance. Then it would show like, hey, we're doing good because somebody is after us. And they will, sooner or later they will. But for now, I think if I go to war, I want to go with 100 soldiers instead of 1,000, just anybody. So our strategy is that we would first strengthen ourselves, really be, we have this trust, the relationships and all this. And then once we're together, then we really go out. It just takes time. I mean, ask Chip Sweeney. It took 19 years to take Unite where it is right now. So, yes.
I have studied European history, so I do understand a little bit about the Catholic Church in that setting. But my question is, I understand the differences between Catholics and Protestants, obviously, and their errors and all of that. But I don't believe that it's impossible for a person to be a believer in a Catholic church and possibly even a priest. Have you tried or had any kind of connections with the leadership in that way?
Yes. There are what we call a few born again priests out there. We know them by name. So if you ask me personally, I really believe that we should work with Catholic Church, and there are people, born again people there. How come they stay there and they still go to Mass and where there's prayer to Mary and all this? I don't know. I don't understand that, but there are some, not many. Usually it's charismatic movements within Catholic Church. But as far as our delicate and fragile collaboration movement, as I said, this is the only time that church came together in Poland in so many years, so it's really fragile. Two denominations left the collaboration, Evangelical Alliance and Evangelical Poland left it because they saw a Baptist union leader going to a state celebration with president of our country, and they had a mass because it's a Catholic country, so they went to the mass, and he went with them. And two denominations said, oh, this guy is betraying our faith. He went to the mass. Oh. He's working with the Catholics. He's, you know, so we're not gonna work with them. And they just, as a decision of a denomination. Local individual pastors, they still would work with us. So we, as Evangelical Poland Collaboration Network, I have to be really delicate in with whom we work, with whom we don't work, just in building the trust and relationship. We just cannot go as a movement, as a platform of collaboration to and say, hey, let's work with Catholics. It would ruin everything. It's because we have so much baggage, and let's just like you saw our wedding and all this. We feel like my wife and I, we've been lied to for so many years. We were really dedicated to the religion, to the Catholic faith, to God. We thought, but nobody told us about relationship with God, about salvation, you know, through faith by grace, you know. So it's a tough one. We just have our baggage. So I think we have one time for one question.
This breaks my heart. I have a Polish grandmother. And
congratulations. So we might be cousins or something.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And as I've said before, we were fortunate to be in California during what is now being called the Jesus Revolution. And one of the hallmarks that's not talked about much there in what I experienced was it was the whole church working together, as you called them, kingdom-minded believers, people who loved God, who loved Jesus, Catholics, Protestants, Charismatics, all of us. Many times it was in parachurch things, Women's Aglow, Full Business Gospel Men, Bible Study Fellowship, Community Bible Study, things like that. I understand what you're saying about the strongholds, and I encourage you to begin praying and talking about Catholics as if God loves them too,
sure.
Which I don't have to tell you, that was said in jest. Yeah. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, I think we have time for one more.
One more, and again, there is at the table at the right. There's those cards. If you would like to leave me your email, I send out the newsletter once a month or so, just to let you know how things are going over there in Poland, so you could pray. That'd be
great. I was just wondering, are there any organizations over there, such as Young Life, or organizations that are speaking to the youth?
Actually, Young Life in Poland works in and within Catholic Church only. That's very interesting.
Only within the Catholic Church?
Yeah, exactly. So that's their strategy. Campus Crusade in Poland, it's the only one in the world that works very closely with Catholic Church, because they believe that's where the harvest is. Because everybody, just like I, they believe in God, they just don't have a relationship with him. So they, you know, it's just like Paul, where did he go? He would go to speak to the Jews, right? Because they believed God, and they were the first target group, so to speak. Okay, we have to go. It's 15 past 10. I will close us in prayer, if you will allow me. I'd like to do it in Polish, but... Oh, before I do this, Polish is very difficult. I'll give you an example. Chrząszcz brzmi w Szczecinie, w Strzebrzeszynie i Strzebrzeszyn z tego słynie. That's just a bug being in the grass or something. So I just need to finish up with this thing, because it's a church, and you need to know this. Polish will be spoken in heaven. Do you know why? Because it takes eternity to learn it. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for Perimeter Church. I thank you for everyone here. And God, if you would want this, the collaboration, the unity of church here and over there to grow and to bring people to your salvation, to your faith, to your presence and to salvation through you and thanks to you. It will be awesome, Father God. Please make this happen, make this reality, the bold vision and what you are doing there. I thank you for Perimeter Church, for leadership, for everyone here in this room, and bless them as they go to listen to the sermon, and they go out and let them invite one person to church this week or this month. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much.